Good morning, Southern. Good morning. First of all, I want to express my gratitude to Dr. Muller and to the rest of the faculty for giving me the privilege to stand and to deliver God's word, for equipping us to properly handle the word of God. I want to acknowledge my church, Brickshaw Baptist Church, for supporting me, and I want to appreciate my pastor, Dr. Ray Humphrey, for mentoring me and guiding me along my journey. I want to say thank you to my parents, even though they're not here today because of their personal schedule, and for their support and prayers. So I invite everyone to open their Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the topic of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. This is the word of the Lord. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to stand here today to deliver God's word to your faithful ones. I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, to the truth of your scriptures. And I pray that you will keep us safe for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been 5 to 6 years ago since I joined Brickshaw Baptist Church and became the pastoral intern under Dr. Humphrey. And until now, I get the excitement to go to his office because there's always a chance for him to give me a free book. Who doesn't want a free book, right? And one day, I was looking at his bookshelves and it caught my eye. And I asked him, Pastor Ray, if there's one book that I should read as a young guy, as a young preacher, what would be your suggestion? At that day, I was expecting maybe a book in preaching, maybe volumes of systematic theology. But at that day, he looked at me and said, Jonathan, you are young. You have a long way to go. You need to read the book of Proverbs over and over and over again, because it's best to have it while you're young. It will protect you from foolishness and it will shape who you are. And at that day, I realized, as ministers of the Word of God, we're not just dispensers of the doctrine that we know, but we also model the righteousness that God showed to us through the Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, we need wisdom more than ever. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians that we need to live righteously, for the days are evil. Just look at the world outside. We need to be example of righteousness. And through the book of Proverbs, Solomon is showing us the ways on how to pursue wisdom. On verses 1 to 5, Solomon provides three conditions for us to pursue wisdom. First, we need to submit ourselves to sound biblical teaching. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Our journey to wisdom starts by receiving the word of God. This is not simply opening your Bible and call it a day. It is starting by recognizing that the scriptures that you hold has an authority over you, that this is the inerrant and the word of God, sola scriptura. And as we receive the word, we need to internalize it in our hearts. We need to treasure it up and let the word of the Lord take root on your hearts. And as we treasure up the word of God, it helps us to remove the distractions in our lives, allowing us to have an erase awareness so that we can hear God's word more clearly. And after that, we can have a proper posture to incline our hearts more to what the Lord is telling us. And by submitting to the Word of God, it also allows us to open our eyes to the truth that the wisdom that we need in this life is not something that we have in ourselves. And this is something that the Lord gives to us. And that's the reason why the second condition that Solomon tells us that we need to ask the Lord for guidance through prayer. And that is in verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, this is a picture of someone asking for help, someone to rescue him, And Solomon is telling his son, my son, if you want wisdom, you need to ask the Lord through prayer. And look at your life right now. How many times, how many doors have closed because of our foolish decisions in the past? How many times that we, instead of asking the Lord for wisdom, we decide to rely on ourselves? Charles Spurgeon once said, young people, we need to pray. We need to pray, for our wisdom is so little, but our passions are so great. And that is a reminder for all of us that we need to ask the Lord for wisdom through prayer. And not only that, Solomon gave us a third condition that we need to consistently devote ourselves to the pursuit of wisdom. That is in verse 4. If you seek it like silver and for hidden treasure, verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Solomon is telling us the value of wisdom by comparing it to treasures. And not only that, it shows us the joy when we find it. Just imagine me for a moment. Just imagine you're standing on the center point of the seminary. You're trying to dig on the center point to find those books, right? The J-bowl, right? We always know that. On the preview day, some were like, this is where the buried books that relates to Josephus, right? But on this example, just imagine you're digging it, and even the seminary police told you, stop it. But you continue to dig it because there's a treasure on that. But one night, as you continue it, you see this particular book and you find a joy because there's something on that. Searching wisdom demands dedication. It requires devotion. One preacher once said, wisdom is something that we need, but only few people have it. Because it demands effort, it demands time, and searching wisdom is not a one-time event. It is a consistent, lifelong pilgrimage in the life of Christians, of a dependency on God. And let me ask you today, as ministers, how's your pursuit of wisdom? How's your pursuit of wisdom? And as we do these conditions, the chapter gives us two results. The first, you will understand the character of God. In verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And as we submit ourselves to the Scriptures, as we pursue wisdom consistently, we can see that we can get the fear of the Lord. As we align our hearts to what the Lord is telling us through the Scriptures, we have this godly perspective. Because wisdom is not simply the application of what we know. This is attaining, aligning ourselves to the heart of God through the reading and devoting ourselves to the Scriptures. And by having this godly perspective, now we could navigate our life that is pleasing to God. My friends, don't just ask for God's guidance. Ask the Lord to increase our fear of Him every single day, because the deeper understanding of who God is waters the wisdom in our heart, nurturing a sanctified life. And that should be our goal in our life. And you can see, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding, we should realize that the promise of wisdom is grounded on the character of God, that He is generous towards us. And that's the reason why Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, ask and you will receive. Knock and you will find it. And James echoed that on his first, on the first chapter of his book. If any one of you, which all of us, lack wisdom, ask the Lord for it, for He is generous. And I am challenging every one of you today, ask the Lord for it. He is generous. He is generous. And not only that God is generous, we can read verse 7 to 8, that He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Looking at the Hebrew, this is not the same word that is used usually to describe wisdom. ESV translates this one to sound wisdom, and CSB translates this one to success. As I look at the commentators, most of them agree that this is the wisdom that leads to success. You know, that's the reason why we need to ask God. And that should be a hope for us, that in the middle of confusion, in the middle of trials, you could go to God and ask for it. Ask for it. Not only that He stores up knowledge of wisdom, but He also protects us. Look at the words, shields, guards the path, watching over. It gives a sense of security, guardrails as we walk our Christian life. And one thing that I love with the word that was used is He watched over the ways of His saints. That's all of us. As we walk our race, as we run our race on this world, God is guiding us. And by extension, on one way that God guards or watches over His flock is by equipping and raising up leaders on our church. And that's the reason why all of us here are training to be wise ministers. We are not just dispensers of biblical doctrine. We should model it to our flock. We should be leading them to the heart of Christ. And not only we know the character of God, when we dwell in the Word of God, we could have a proper view of what a righteous living looks like. On the next verses, you see that then you will understand the righteousness and justice and equity in every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. That is a wonderful promise for those who dwell in the Word. Every one of us need to understand that unless we dwell in the Word of God, we cannot understand how to live righteously. The Bible set the standards and we need to listen to what the Lord is saying. And as we look at the verses, brothers and sisters, you can see that Solomon is emphasizing the guarding aspect of wisdom. Because on the succeeding verses, you will see that there are two paths, two ways, two people that will lead you away from the Word of God, that will destruct you with your calling, that leads to disaster. Look at this on verses 12 to 19. The first one is the way of iniquity. The way of iniquity. We can read that one in verse 12 to verse 15. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, who walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, delighting in the perverseness of evil, men who pass are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Brothers and sisters, these are the people who intentionally suppress the truth of the Scriptures. They know it, but because the Word of God contradicts to the pleasures that they want, they just shrug it away. The chapter C, on the first part of the chapter, the chapter show us how to live righteously by dwelling in the Word, by consistently pursuing God. But on this verses, you can see that the wicked person, instead of seeking God, he forsake God. Instead of He's consistently pursuing God. Look at this. He rejoiced in doing evil. Brothers and sisters, if we are not careful, if we neglect our Bible, daily Bible reading, if we neglect our prayer time, that leads to compromise. And as we compromise, it will, as we continue to compromise, our heart hardens. And eventually you will see that you will be out of God's path. You need to be wise. You need to be wise. And the second path that Solomon is telling us that we need to be careful is the path of immorality. It's the path of immorality. In verses 16, and after, you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsake the companion of her youth and forget the covenant of her God. For her house sink down to death and her path to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the path of life. Brothers and sisters, the verse are straightforward. These are the people that will tempt you to embrace the immorality of this world. These are the people that will use flattering words to entice you. Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon said, the victims of the forbidden woman walks to the trap that he doesn't know about it. Because flattery is not communication. It is manipulation. And without wisdom, you cannot discern it. That's the reason why we need to dwell in the Word of God. And not only the forbidden woman is characterized by her words, but also on her actions. You can see on how she treats the covenant that she made with God and her husband. She can easily abandon it because she loves profanity. She loves profanity. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. We need to watch ourselves, because if we're not careful, we will go to this path. Because by nature, we love sin. These are our two paths. These are the nature that we love. We love iniquity. We love immorality. But praise God that He saves every one of us here today. By His grace, He gave us a new heart. And because of the new heart, we're able to respond to God's word, to the gospel. However, our journey continues. Our battle continues. We're still living in the flesh. If you're not careful, you will fall. You will fall. Aside from being a pastoral intern at Briggs, I am a cybersecurity professional. I work in the tech field. And one of the things that I love is educating people. I love speaking in different conferences, and also I don't wear black hoodies, you know. I'm not like that. I speak to conferences. I help organizations like schools and especially the churches, since they need some guidance on that one. But the main job that I have is to consult to big organizations. I work as a specialist where I identify the threats, assess the risk, and give consultation to the executives. And as I dwell on this particular field, I realize that this particular people are willing to invest money and effort to protect the biggest assets that they have, which is their data. One author said, he who controls the data controls the world, because that is the currency that we have right now. And as I talk to them, they always tell me, Jonathan, we're a small company. Are they going to attack us? And I always tell them, sir, it's not about the question of if they're going to attack you. It's about how will you respond when they attack you? Because it's not about the question of if, it's always a question of how and when. It's not about the possibility, it's about the probability of it. And that's the reason why they invest money and time. And if these organizations are willing to spend money and time to protect the data that have financial significance, should we not to take our life more seriously because our soul have eternal significance? We should take this one seriously, because if we're not careful, the devil is trying to find your weaknesses every single day. And that's the reason why that we need to be wiser than yesterday. Pursue wisdom while it's called today. Ministers, fellow co-laborers in Christ, I want to remind ourselves, it only takes one foolish decision in our lives to destroy your Christian credibility, to destroy your family, and to eventually destroy or disqualify you on your ministry. Just look at the past few years. It hurts me. It hurts me that some of the best preachers, teachers that I know were disqualified, not because of their theological stance, but because of their foolish decisions in the past. And if you're not careful, it could be me. It could be you. It could be all of us, regardless of your titles. We need to find wisdom. We need to go to God. And that's the reason why we need to dwell in the Word. We need to be consistent on our pursuit of wisdom so that we could follow what Solomon is telling us on verses 20 to 21 to 22. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the path of righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Solomon is telling his son to avoid these two ways. To avoid these two ways by reminding him on the covenantal stipulation of the old covenant, which is, if they obey God, God will guard them. God will bless them. But if they disobey God, God will punish them. And do you know what's the most ironic thing on this? The king, the son, maybe probably the one of the recipients of this word, Rehoboam, the son that succeeded Solomon, did exactly the opposite of this chapter. Instead of surrounding himself with wise people, what did he do? He followed the advice of the foolish friends that he has. Instead of avoiding the sexual immorality, he even promoted it to the country. And what the Lord did to them, the Lord divided the kingdom. Just imagine, you are the wisest, you're the son of the wisest king of Israel. You have the access to the wisdom that you need, but he chose to live and die as a fool. Brothers and sisters, that is a reminder that wisdom is not automatically given, not because of your status, not also by your age. I know people older than me who still acts like fools. And I see people nodding in the congregation because you know someone who do that. And also not because of your age, not because of your status, not also by your group. Wisdom is given to those who pursue it. And every one of us can pursue it today by dwelling in the Word, by consistently asking God through prayers, and by relying on God on this. And as we look on the entirety of the Scriptures, we can see that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs by the help of the Holy Spirit, but he fell short. He fell short. He doesn't exemplify the wisdom that we need. But there's a good news. There is someone greater than Solomon that came. There is someone wiser than Solomon that came to this world. And that is, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the wisdom of God. He personified the wisdom of God. And he gave wisdom to those who seek for it. And not only that, he gives hope to the fools and gives salvation to sinners. Now, ministers, my co-laborers in Christ, I want to encourage you to reignite your love and wisdom. Now that we're living in the other side of the cross, let us go back to the beginning. Let us submit ourselves to the Word of God. Let us ask the Lord in prayer, and let us consistently rely on God. Be wise. Pursue Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to stand today. Thank you for allowing me to share the word to my fellow ministers. We acknowledge that you're the God of wisdom. And we confess our sins, Lord, that there are moments that we rely on what we know instead of relying on you. But thank you, Lord, for giving us this word to remind ourselves that in the moment of our weaknesses, we could go to you. And I'm lifting up every one of the people here in this chapel, from professors to my fellow ministers, that you lead us to the calling that we have and you equip us with the wisdom that we need. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen and amen.